Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Tribe of Unicorns. I'm your host, Kendra Beavis, and today I am so excited to be on the show with my friend, Julie Wenger. Julie is an author, and her book is just about to come out, and it is called Fired Up, Fulfilled, and Free. Aren't we all looking for that entire recipe for our lives? So grab a cup of coffee. We are getting into all the things. Here we go. Hey guys, welcome back to Tribe of Unicorns. I'm your host, Kendra Beavis, and today I am sitting with Julie Wenger. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Where are you actually? I didn't ask you that in our little pre-chat.
I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Oh, okay.
So probably north of you.
You're probably north of most people. Yeah.
That's usually a pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Very cool. So tell me about what it is that you do, and then we're going to get into how you got there.
Yeah. So I am currently functioning as a coach, as a podcaster, as an author. We're just launching my first book, which is super exciting. And a mom and a wife, and I fit into all of these different spaces. I have a lot of different assignments. And at the same time, in this whole introduction of self thing, I'll often introduce myself as, hi, I'm Julie. I'm love. I am joy. I'm strength. I'm light. And I'm grace. And that wraps up the essence of me. And then I get to go put that into all of these places and spaces that I spend time in. So that's me at a high level.
Love taking that take on it, because so many people get stuck on their titles in so many different ways. And you know, working through different life transformations, titles tend to keep us in boxes. So going about it with, you know, what you come to the table with as far as emotionally, and who you are at your core, and putting that forward makes so much sense, because then, like you said, that can be any, it can fill any, you know, path you're on.
Yeah. Super cool. So this boxes thing, can we talk about boxes?
Yes. Let's talk about boxes.
Let's talk about boxes. Here's what's been really cool in the journey that is life. There are all of these expectations we buy into, right? All of these societal stories of you should be this, your life should look like this, you should do, you should. There's all these checklists for enoughness in all of the different areas of life. And I've been there, and I've tried to live into that, and I've burnt myself out, and we'll probably get into that whole story. Yes. But what I've realized along the way is that we think who we are is those boxes or those roles and titles, right? We think that I am a coach, or I am a speaker, or I am a mom, or I am a wife is actually what defines us, but it doesn't. Because if you think of it, I always like to think of Amazon boxes, because we've all had a lot of those in our life the last couple of years.
Just a few.
So there's all these Amazon boxes on the ground, and on Sharpie on the side of them is all of these titles. So there's a box for mom, there's a box for wife, and there's a box for author, and there's a box for all of these different spaces. And each box has its checklist for enoughness. But if you just clear all the boxes, just push them all to the side, you still exist.
Mm-hmm.
So the question becomes, who am I without all of those roles and all of those titles?
Yeah.
And starting to get clear on that essence, on that, what's at my core? What is me without the masks? What is me without living into other people's stories for my life is essentially freedom.
Yeah.
And clarity.
So how do we do that? How do we clear out the boxes?
There's this really interesting process that I take clients through, and it's in the book. So if anyone wants to go and grab it, you can like walk yourself.
Say the name of your book before I forget to ask you.
Fulfilled and Free.
Yes. Available on Amazon, right?
Sold on Amazon. We'll put a link somewhere, wherever you put links. And so it takes you through this whole process, but essentially for me, this process was because I had lost me in trying to be everything for everybody for so many years, that I had to go to God, because it's like a faith thing for me, because I'm very faith focused, and say, like, who am I? What is it that represents me at my best? What is it that represents my natural skills or my natural abilities or my inclinations, or like, what is it that defines my character? And he gave me love, joy, strength, light, and grace. And as I've then transitioned that into this journey for all of the people that I support, there's this big, big list, like a big list of possible characteristics, essence kind of statements. It sounds kind of like fluffy, but it's not. And so we go through this process of reading them all out and just feeling into what lands, what resonates with me, what just is me.
Mm-hmm.
And often people will end up with lists of like 13 to 18 words out of this really, really long list. And then we'll refine it and we'll look at it and say, okay, what do you feel really strongly about? What do you have a really strong gut sense about? What encompasses something else? What is similar but stronger? And we narrow it down to this list of 3 to 5, because 3 to 5 gives us something that we can rattle off.
Right.
And it also gives us an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about the process is that we all have an infinite number of characteristics. And at the same time, we need these reminders of who are we at our best?
Yeah.
Who are we when we're the most ourselves? And so this small grouping of words, a small collection of things, such as love, joy, strength, light, and grace, when we start to get triggered and we start to play small, or we start to default into old protective patterns, like cough, cough, people pleasing. speaking from personal experience over here, or overachieving or over-identifying with, but I need to be a successful coach, or I need to sell so many books to be a successful author, you know, mm-hmm. quote unquote success. We get to come back to these I am statements and remind ourselves of who we are. Remind ourselves that, okay, if I'm love, joy, strength, light, grace, A, that resets my nervous system. It's fascinating. And it gives me context on how do I show up in this situation? How do I show up in this season? How do I show up in this interaction in a way that is aligned with that? Right. In a way that is me being the most authentically that.
I love that.
And it gives us guardrails for mm-hmm. life. It also starts to funnel down and filter out some of the boxes that don't fit.
Oh yeah.
Some of the places and spaces are giving a lot of energy and that don't actually make sense or don't align with who we are.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's kind of fun is when somebody really irks you or something happens that really bothers you, there is pretty much always, I don't think I've seen an exception, there is always a conflict with who you are at your core. So I'll see clients who have, so integrity. Okay. I have a lot of people who have integrity as a characteristic or as an essence, I am statement. And if they're dealing with someone on, for example, if I'm looking at real estate, cause that's where I used to be. So I have a lot of clients in that space. They're dealing with someone on the other side of a home purchase negotiation that is doing things in a way that's shady.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get really triggered by that.
Yeah.
Really upset about it. And I'm going to say, I don't know why this bothers me so much. And I'll sit there, kind of smirk at them and say, I am integrity. And they're like, oh, snap. Right. Because all of this context starts to come into play and they start to be able to look at if this is who I am and this is what matters to me, because who we are will then filter down into our values. It right. isn't our values, but it creates our values. Of course, that's going to bother you. Of course, that's going to be an issue for you. Now, if who you are is compassion and you see someone that is being a cyber bully,
right,
it's probably going to irritate you or trigger you or, you know, tick you off because you value compassion and this person is not acting in a way that you perceive as compassionate.
What do you recommend when you feel that friction? Is that a relationship you step away from, whether it's in business or in life?
Sometimes it's as simple as acknowledging it and having an awareness of it. because so much of that is situationally dependent,
right?
Right. There's going to be temporary interactions that you have with people that you can essentially step away when the interaction is over. There are going to be times where you look at, maybe it's an online interaction, and say, okay, is there any value in me engaging in this? Or do I just recognize that this bothers me because this is who I am, and then just let it go? Or is there potentially a relationship with someone who is more integrated into your life, mm-hmm. that you have an opportunity to say to them, you know, this, can we talk about this? Can we talk about this behavior? Can we talk about this pattern? Can we have a conversation about it?
Yeah.
Or a rumble, as Brené Brown says. I love that language. Yes. Let's have a rumble about this. And you know, the story I'm telling myself is that you, so I think we can lean into some of those tools, but it really depends on, you know, what is the situation? What's the value of you engaging?
I love the idea of, I'm really leaning hard on removing the titles and figuring out your essence. Because just doing that, it take, like you said, it gets you to a place of freedom. So I would imagine, you know, if somebody's struggling with, like, I'll use myself as an example. I went through a pretty toxic marriage and then a lovely divorce. and I had a hard time figuring out, well, I'm a divorced mother, single mother of two. And I had this new title that I was like really stressing over owning. And then when I realized, like, I'm not those things, like, I don't have to own that title. I can just be me in this new form, or in this new role. It kind of released a lot of the shoulds and what that looks like and my preconceived notions of what that life would be. So I think it's so interesting that that's kind of, you know, that you picked up on, and this is part of your transformational journey that you take your clients, students on.
Yeah. The freedom piece is often related to comparison, mm-hmm. and related to who we tell ourselves we're supposed to be.
Right.
And I mean, societally, we put a lot of value, especially in, you know, Western culture, on, hi, I'm so-and-so, what do you do?
Right. That's always the first question.
Yeah. That's the introduction. Right. And that's okay, but we have to be conscious of, who am I telling myself I am?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be as specific as roles and titles, or it can be as, I want to say, like, insidious as, I am so stupid.
Mm.
Right? That self-talk, anything that's an I am is an identification statement, and our subconscious latches onto it and tries to find proof of it.
Mm.
And then that solidifies this, here's who I am, and here's now the bar that I need to measure up to. So when I look back, I'll give a little bit of story here. So yes, when I look back at my own journey, I was in real estate for 10 years and I kind of fell into it. It wasn't something that I had a passion for or wanted to do when I grew up,
mm-hmm.
but I had an interior design background and I liked people and I knew some people that were in that space, and I didn't know what else I was going to do, frankly. So I end up in this real estate space, which is super competitive, full of comparison, scarcity driven, and everything is like number success.
Yeah.
So I spent 10 years chasing what I thought other people would define as success and trying to get there because I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel like I fit in. I struggled with not enoughness all the time. Like, I just needed to prove for once that I was valuable and that I was lovable. And
how'd that go?
Well, I mean, I got there.
Yeah.
Right. This is what's interesting is I got there. And it was about 9 years in, and we had $500,000 a year company, and I had a team, and we had well-oiled systems, but I was so stuck in the people-pleasing, mm-hmm. that I had surrounded myself with clients who just sucked time and energy and would like step all over you. And I was at a point of, I had so much anxiety and so much burnout, overwhelm, because I was just worried about the business all the time, because I'd attached all my value to being a successful real estate agent, but I was failing everywhere else. I wasn't a present mom. I wasn't a present wife. Things were just bumpy everywhere else. But I had this, if I take my foot off the gas, it's all going to implode.
Right.
And so I get to this point of people are coming to me and they're saying, how do you do it? Can you teach me? Because their measure of success is the same as what I've bought into. And I'm like, imposter syndrome for one.
Right.
I don't deserve this. I don't know what I'm doing. If they see that I don't know what I'm doing, then, you know, like, it's just all this judgment stuff. Right. And so one day I went for a walk and I was like, I don't want this. I don't want this. Like, whatever the success is, like, is this it?
Yeah. Cause you weren't happy.
I was not happy. I wasn't fulfilled. I had what I was supposed to want.
Right.
I had ticked so many of the tick boxes and so many of those boxes on the ground that I should have been, by society's standards or definitions, I should have been happy. And I wasn't. And so the question started to become, well, then what is it that I do want?
Yeah.
And as I started to explore that, and this was really, you know, where it became a spiritual process for me, I had done everything by my own control and my own doing, my own power for my whole adult life. And realistically, I can see this going back as far as I can remember, this desire to fit in, this desire to measure up, this desire to prove that I was enough. And I just got to this point where I'm like, I can't do this by myself anymore.
Yeah.
Can you just tell me what I'm supposed to want? Like, can we just redefine that? Can we just fix this? And that was really where, you know, where God placed people in my life that could challenge me and could give me new perspective and new context and help me to start to understand that first, before I could figure out what I wanted, I needed to figure out who I even was.
Yeah.
And I had to redefine that. And to jump ahead a little bit, once I got to this, I am love, I am joy, I am strength, I am light, I am grace, what opened up for me was, well, I'm not like everybody else. We all have our own collection of I ams. We all have our own collection of talents and skills and superpowers, and we all have our own path and thing that we're here for. So why am I holding myself to someone else's standard? Why am I trying to be like other people who have a completely different path from mine, who are wired completely differently from me? And there's a really interesting recent addition to the whole piece, which is I have a recent ADHD diagnosis. Ooh. So I'm looking at life through that context too, as underpinning all of this. And it's like, whoa, like mind blown.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But when we get this awareness of, okay, this is actually me, and I'm starting to understand me, then I start to be able to look at all the comparison and all the shoulds and say, well, that's someone else's stuff. That's not right. Mine. And we can start to build boundaries with ourselves about what am I taking in and who am I allowing to have a say on my life. Plus, here's the thing. Okay. I really need people to hear this, is that the things that you think people expect from you, the expectations, the shoulds, the you're supposed to be this way, you're supposed to look this way, you're supposed to act this way, you're supposed to achieve these things, they are your perceptions of what other people think. And they're usually manufactured.
Yeah.
They're usually not even real. So what we're actually measuring ourselves against is who we think we're supposed to be. And often there's an underpinning there of, I know that I'm called to and capable of more than I'm living right now. And we can either focus on comparing ourselves to other people to try and figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge is that the quote unquote there is always moving.
Sure.
You get to a new level and there's something right. else. But on the other side, and this is what I love and what I teach, and this is in the book too, is there is this capability gap. And if we can step out of the comparison trap of looking at other people for validation of ourselves and our purpose and our life and our value. Instead, we look at, okay, what's an honest assessment of where am I right now? What are my challenges? What are the things that I need to work through? What are the things that I need to, you know, let God break off me, right? Where do I need to firm up my foundation and heal? Because we've all got stuff.
Oh yeah.
Right. Where do I need to heal? And then if I can get clarity on what am I called to, which is my jam. Like, I love that stuff. But if I can get clarity on what am I called to, then this vision, this often like fuzzy aspiration of, okay, I'm called to this, that space between there and where we are, that's the capability gap.
Okay.
And closing the capability gap requires us to grow. And it requires us to change, but keeping our eyes on what do we want? What are we here for? Which is always underpinned by who we are. That gives right. us context on it. It's like guardrails on purpose. And as we move towards that thing, part of the motivation is understanding that our purpose is for us and that it will fulfill us and it will fire us up, but it's not about us.
Oh my God.
There's always something to purpose that is about other people. There's always a bigger picture impact because it's not meant to be, I'm just here for me and that's it. We're meant to be in community. We're meant to support each other. We're meant to create a world that's more filled with love and justice and compassion and empathy. And so when we look at the what's possible, what's over there, there are going to be things that benefit us along the way. There are going to be things that we want. And at the same time, on those challenging days or those days where imposter syndrome shows up, because you better believe it does when you're growing through that gap. It's, I see you, fear, but these people over here are waiting for me. These people that are assigned to me that I have a chance to impact and create transformation with, they don't get that transformation if I don't show up. So the cost of me staying stuck in my fear or the cost for me of staying in my real estate business is way too high because they're worth me taking a risk. They're worth me stepping outside of my comfort zone. And I mean, that's fundamentally what happened.
Yeah.
Right? Because I got this clarity and over, I'm warp speed everything. So
I was going to say, what was the time frame on that?
It was about a year. Over about a year, I got this clarity of, okay, I'm here to help people find their fire and trust themselves and live life as authentically them in their purpose and create impact in the world, which is like a lot of words, but it's for me. So it doesn't have to be a marketing pitch, right?
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I looked at real estate and I was like, how do I do that selling houses? And it was this light bulb moment of you don't, right? This isn't for you. This isn't where you stay. And the most aligned opportunity that I found in front of me, at least at that point, was coach. I was like, I could do that. So I built a plan over like 3 or 4 months and then launched a coaching program. And then the pandemic hit and I took all my recovering overachiever energy, which was still a lot, and I pushed it into building a coaching business. And by the end of the summer of 2020, we were in a position where, I mean, it wasn't income replacement, because I wasn't making a lot of money in real estate, right, but it was a stable business. And over the summer, I kept getting this like straight up God question. Okay. Like, do you trust me yet? It's time to go. And I was like, maybe like, can I sell the business first? And then all those opportunities would blow up. Maybe I need to build the financial buffer a little bit more. So if I could just like finalize these deals that are in the pipes that should go through, then I'll do it. It's like, oh, these deals, they're just gone. And it was we're going. If I have to drag you by your hair,
kicking and screaming, we're going.
Yeah. So, but ultimately what really got me through this, I call it a hold your nose and jump moment, because you don't know what's on the other side. You just have to go. You just have to jump through the fear, was understanding that it wasn't about me.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was about other people's transformation and the bigger picture impact that exists when I'm living in my purpose. And that made all my fear irrelevant. And so I shut it down.
Wow.
I called my girlfriend that I called her my work wife because we would just, you know, do all sorts of stuff together and bounce ideas off each other. And it's like, what's it going to take for you to take over my business? Like tomorrow. And so she took over what was still there and I disbanded my team and I hung up my license and that was the end of it. And so it sounds like it was really fast, but I definitely fought the process. And yet here's what I felt on the other side of it, because I expected to be scared shitless.
Yeah.
What did I just do? And instead I had peace, complete and total peace. Like, yep, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. And it's the first time that I've said yes to the call. Mm-hmm. Right? It's the first time in my life where I've been, you know, building a business from a place that it's kind of a business I call a ministry. Like I get to really serve people and I get to, you know, partner with God and how I build it. And it's just so different than this running, chasing, pushing, trying to achieve success and tick, tick boxes of learning. And this is an ongoing process, but learning to stand in my enoughness. Learning to say, I'm enough because I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm enough because I exist. I'm enough because God said the world needs you.
It takes a lot of mental toughness, I guess, to stand in that decision. Because I'm sure you had people around you who were like, what are you doing? How did you manage that?
Fascinating. You know what? I didn't.
Really? So you have the opposite.
I expected it. Okay. I expected it. And people were like, oh, this makes sense.
Like, some people saw it way before you even saw it.
Yeah, totally. And I'd make announcements about like earlier on, you know, now I have these two companies and people were like, that was just for you. Like you just needed to put that out there. So it felt like you announced it, but we all knew. And so I totally expected that. And one of our first podcasts on my show, we talked about that. And part of it, I think, was that I kind of don't take crap from anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't holding space for those people. Right. I was not surrounding myself with those people. I'm sure there were some of those people, but they didn't have my ear at that point. And at the same time, I think people could see how lit up I was and that it was a natural fit for me.
Right.
And so there wasn't this, are you crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was a little crazy. So, you know, I projected that onto everybody, but they didn't think so.
That's amazing. I love that people saw it and you took you a minute to get there.
Sometimes that's how it goes.
I wanted to talk about, so, I mean, that's a huge identity shift. Like, how do you transition? I mean, you talked about essences and but what was that journey like for you? Because you're a realtor, you're a CEO of this company. And now you have this new title. Is that the point where you realized like, oh, screw titles?
It was a little earlier. And I mean, I got it in a headspace. I got it consciously that as I was beginning this transition, that I am this core version of me. I am this collection of characteristics. I am something above all of the boxes.
Right.
But there's an act of detaching yourself from something that you have been so attached to for your whole entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's a continual choosing. It's every day we're building the new habit pattern. So I was leveraging these I am statements multiple times a day, saying them to myself in the mirror. They were my home screen on my phone. They were my home screen on my computer. Like I just plastered this stuff everywhere so that it was in front of my face. And I started to ask this question because I had to start to see value in me, and I had to learn how to like me, let alone love me. Mm-hmm. And starting to see, okay, this is who I am over here. Not that, not a realtor, not a successful realtor, not, you know, Kennedy and Jackson's mom, none of that. Like, yes, I give my time and energy to those things, but I am this. And my ego would show up and be like, well, yeah, but you need to make a certain, no, stop it. Stop it. We're not going there today. I am love and joy. And, you know, I was just like fighting with myself, but at the same time saying like, hey, God, help me see me the way you do. And here's what's cool is he sends armies, right? Yeah. It's like all these people started to show up in my life that could reflect back to me what they saw in me.
Yeah.
When I couldn't see it. So I'm getting this reinforcement from outside of this is who I am. And they're reflecting that back and they're telling you you're capable. And they're telling you that they see that you have, you know, this talent you've been burying because mm-hmm. you've been so worried about fitting into boxes. And so it started slowly to shift, and it takes time, right? Yeah. Essentially, you're redefining your whole way of thinking about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of coaching time involved in this whole process, and that's morphed into therapy. And like, there's so much work to do, and it will never stop. But it just started over time to shift.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was building new neural pathways. I was building new habit patterns.
Yeah.
And that's not stuff that just happens overnight. You don't just decide and you're there. Like, I'm deciding, and then I'm deciding again, and then I'm deciding again, and then I'm deciding again. And eventually we get to a point where it's more default.
Right.
And it's still not always default. There's still, when we get our resilience really drained, we tend to default into the most comfortable habit pattern that we have accessible. And those old ones from when we're kids, those old coping mechanisms, the ways that we define our value, they're like concrete tunnels.
Yeah.
And the new ones are still like, we're bushwhacking a little
bit. Yeah. You know, like
it's not easy, which means it takes effort and energy to go there. But I mean, surrounding yourself with the right people is important. Getting the right support in place is important. Being reminded is important. And yeah, just it's a process, which doesn't make it sound super easy, but it's so worth it because I like me now, and I love me, and I value me. And like most of the time I stand firmly in my enoughness and my too muchness, which I know we're going to get to.
Yes. I can't wait to talk about too much.
Right? And it's just, it's a continual choosing.
I remember when I was going through, I've been through a couple different transformational points in my life, one being the divorce, another being a pretty substantial weight loss that I've maintained struggling with currently again, but going through the choice to live a sober life, that one I think was probably the most obvious, where I really had to almost re-meet myself and understand who I was, and coming out of like this alcohol-induced fog, where I hadn't realized so much of my life had been focused around this one specific thing. And so, I mean, that kind of translates to career or whatever else in your life, you can relate that to, but you know, for me, it was alcohol, and then figuring out who I was without that. And then what do I even enjoy? Even when I was going through my divorce, I remember I had a 5-hour block of time, to myself, and I had an infant and a 3-year-old. And I had sat in my car because I'm like, I don't even know what I like to do. I have no idea who I am. So I think defining that core and figuring out who you are and reintroducing yourself to yourself at this point in your life is so important, but really hard. And it takes a lot of patience, which is frustrating because you just want to get there. You see it, you know where you want to be, but having patience with your growth is sometimes really difficult.
Yeah. Being here can be so challenging. And yet we don't get to there without being here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what is there anyway? You don't actually know.
You get there.
There is no there.
Yeah. You're still
there moving. Turns into here.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that's actually really interesting because this has been such a theme in my life recently, where I joke that God hits me over the head with things like multiple times to get me to pay attention.
Yes.
And So, you know, there have been phases in the growth journey where that was the Enneagram. There have been phases in the journey where that was rest and learning to rest or learning to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even like know how to deep breathe to calm myself down. I didn't realize how reactionary my life was and how wound up my body was in terms of a just standing stress response. But lately it's been be here. Be willing to be present here. Be willing to let me work on you here. Be willing to build the endurance here. Be willing to refine your skill sets here, because that's all of the stuff that you need to be able to get to the next thing.
Right.
To be able to move along the path, to be able to, you know, move towards life that's even more fulfilling.
Yeah.
And it's such a challenge, because just like with all of the other comparison stuff, we live in a society that is go, 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 go. And a society where busy is praised as a status symbol, and where achievement and climbing ladders is the target. And so to shift out of that, where, you know, I've always been, I've made it a point of pride that I'm like warp speed 8. I move fast. I get stuff done fast. But at this point in life, I'm starting to get the clarity as I get more and more and more awareness about me that it's not always a benefit.
Right.
That there are times when moving so fast means I miss things.
Yes,
or it means steps. That I'm impulsive or I'm inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as you're talking about this shift and having to be patient, there's also a having to be compassionate
mm-hmm.
with ourselves, to learn how to be self-compassionate, because we're human and we're not perfect, and we're not going to have an awareness and then execute perfectly on change and building new ways of being and thinking.
Right.
It's going to take time, and it's going to take repetitive effort, and we're going to fall off the bus sometimes.
Yeah.
And even with the ADHD diagnosis and looking at that impulsiveness and that warp speed, I'm like, oh, that's what's underpinning that. There's a level of self-compassion that comes with that. And I can say, okay, I can give myself some grace there, because it's not just a fundamental character flaw.
Right.
Or I can give myself some grace for having such a strong people pleaser tendency, because I'm an Enneagram 2, which is a helper. And we have this story of I need to be needed. And we double down on the nurturing to try and get our needs for love met. So that people pleasing behavior is wired because my neurobiology is a little different and is geared to that. And then as I go through childhood, I start to layer on these personality patterns. That mm-hmm. reinforce, if I show up this way, then I get X need met. If I show up proving and achieving, I get X need met. So there's looking at all of those things and then saying, okay, I can be kinder to myself about that. Or I'm not wired like these super analytical types that can be, you know, praised for how smart they are or how they can remember numbers and do things like that. It's like, I'm not wired like that. So I can let that go.
Yeah.
Or my husband says, Elsa, that shit. I love it.
That's awesome.
All the parents will get it, and everybody else will be like, what are you talking about? Yes.
I want to talk about being too much. And mm-hmm. I do want to have you on a second time to talk about Enneagram personality types, because that is just fascinating. And I think understanding more about your personality type and what your superpowers are, and maybe where you should steer clear of different things is really an important process. But let's talk about being too much. I've been told that before. I've felt that at my core. You know, somebody will ask me like, what are you working on? And I'm like, oh, let me, and I get all into it. I'm like, I'm writing a book, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And they're like, whoa, okay. Just how was your day? But I'm fired up about like, you know, what I'm doing, and I want to hear what they're doing. And it's a lot. And I'm always kind of all over the place with, you know, the podcast and my business and, you know, this and that and that and all these other things. So oftentimes I'll feel like, why can't I just sit down and calm down and not be so excited, or be too much? I feel more than more. It's an inner thing than the feedback. I feel that I'm too much. So how do you get over that?
So too muchness is very interconnected with not enoughness. Let's go there first.
Okay.
Being too much of something, being too energetic, too bold, too fast, too excited means you're not enough of quiet, soft, make everybody else comfortable. Like there is always that tie when we flip it around. So they're kind of the same thing. So there's that. And there within that not enoughness piece is saying, well, if my enoughness is defined by my existence, or for those of us that are, you know, faith-based like me, my enoughness is defined by God saying I'm enough and I'm not going to argue with him. You know, that starts to shift the perspective on what not enough and too much looks like. And too much, here's what's interesting about too much, okay, is that when we start to look at our purpose, we start to look at our calling, and we start to look at what do I need within me to be able to live out this big dream, this big just something that's inside of me that I know I'm capable of. Everything that's in you that's too much is what?
Yeah.
Right? Like if we're called to go stand on stages and shake people's trees and be bold and be exciting and inspire people and empower people and get them to think differently, does that not require, and like we're on the same page here because a lot of the things you're saying, I'm like, but does that not require us to be a little intense sometimes, or to be excited, or to be expressionable? I'm making up words now.
It's great. We'll go with it.
You know, like the big flailing arms moving talkers, right? Like there's something about that that is necessary to be able to step into the spaces that we are here to step into. And if we're so tied up in, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, and I want to fit in, which is not actually belonging, by the way, that's just trying to put yourself into somebody else's box again. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to just like toe the line and avoid judgment or criticism, or then we bury this stuff that is a part of us that is actually a superpower, but we just shove it and we use all this energy trying to keep it like buried. And then guess what happens? It's like shaking a Coke bottle and expecting the lid not to come off, right? Then it blows out the side, or it leaks out a little bit. So one of mine, and I talked about this too when I was writing, was I talk too much. I'm loud and obnoxious. I talk too much. And so there were these meetings that I was in. I was on this executive team, and I would always like take over because I'm a big energy and I spark people. That's actually a superpower of mine. I can spark some change and some awareness, and that's like, they'll go change the trajectory of their whole life, which is not great for client conversion, but that's okay. But I would show up in this meeting and be like, I'm not going to talk so much today. I'm going to let other people talk. I'm going to wait until they've all had their chance, and I'm sitting there vibrating in my chair, and they're like, what is up with Julie today? And then all of a sudden it's like verbal diarrhea, right? Like just blah, all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just comes out in this uncontrolled, unharnessed kind of a, you know, just not productive way. And so that for me is like, that's legit too much. But if I walk into that space with authenticity and I'm like, you know what? Yes, I am a intense personality and I have a tendency to take lead. I have a tendency to maybe take on more than I should be. So I need to watch my boundaries, but I'm going to authentically be powerful and say what I mean and give them my opinions. I can be me and create change and challenge people on their thinking without being like out of control, overwhelming.
Right.
So there's a learning how to use it and being cognizant of our circumstances, but not giving all this energy to just burying part of ourselves so it could pop out in unforeseen places, but instead saying, okay, I see this thing in me. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to look for what are the gifts in it. I'm going to get curious about like what makes me think it's too much anyway.
Yeah.
Cause you ever have people you talk to and like, I just think I'm totally loud and obnoxious. And they're like, I have never experienced you that way.
Yeah. 100%. It's funny so, that again, other people's perceptions of themselves. And like you were saying, sitting in that meeting, I've gotten it before where people are, they think I'm angry or mad or when I hold myself back. Cause I guess it shows that you're not being authentic. You're not, you know, acting in a way that's aligned to.
Well, you're breaking a social contract is what happens. Cause their ego. Okay. Like subconscious them expects you to show up and act a certain way.
Right.
Because that's how you've shown up and acted before. And your subconscious has an expectation of them to show up and act a certain way. Cause that's how they've shown up before. So when somebody changes, you're breaking the contract and their ego, cause our egos don't like change, flips out. Like,
yeah.
What is happening right now? This is not okay. And that's often what happens when we go through a growth curve and we're surrounded by the same people and they're maybe not on the path. Is we're right. breaking the contract with them and we got to give them a chance to catch up or get used to it.
I've seen that happen so many times where, you know, somebody will just need to take a break, whether it's in a business relationship or real, you know, real life, yeah. personal life, because same, like we just need to sort of fit our new roles and find out how we interact together at that point. I've also seen the too much thing come out when something I'm doing or something someone else is doing is triggering someone else. Where they see, like, I will never forget. I was told after a conversation, I was in my office space, and I was told after having a conversation with a client that I was too personable and I can't do business that way. And for me, I will not do business any other way. All my clients are my friends. I adore them from like day one. I won't work with anyone that we can't have that relationship. Why bother? And so to hear, and it was such like a vehement, like, you can't do that. And I was like, I've been doing it for 20 years that way. And it's been fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a reflection back of, and it's a subconscious to subconscious. Okay. It's a reflection back to them of, I have untapped potential and I'm seeing someone else do a thing in a way that doesn't fit with my frame of reference and my perspective, but oh, they're succeeding, right? Like when you talk to people who are in more of that space of settling or in their space of life just is, right? Life happens to me, not for me. And right. this just is it. And that's it. When you start talking to them about, oh yeah. And I'm like starting a podcast and this new business and I'm writing a book and I'm right. All of these things that are inspirational and they're part of your purpose and that you're geared up about and that you're excited about the impact they're going to make. And they just look at you like, what? No, I mean, they may not be your people anymore. Okay.
True,
so
true.
We have to up level our people. That's yeah. just a reality of the growth curve, but we may be reflecting to them something in them that exists. That's possible that they have not gone after. And you know what? That's okay. Because we can't make people happy all the time.
No.
And sometimes those people need us to shake them up.
Exactly.
So that they see what's possible.
Yeah. I mean, we've all had those people on our own journeys who've, like you said, when you needed to see messages and then they come at you three times, threefold, you know, maybe we are that person for someone else.
Yeah. And we can't carry other people's comfort because we're not actually in charge of it.
Right.
Right. We can't actually change how they're going to feel about something. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the other opportunity is that if we stand fully in who we are, including all of our too muchness, like let's reclaim that stuff and say, you know what? I can be loud and I can be intense and I can be, you know, a lot of these things that typically have been labeled as too much. And they serve my purpose in the world. And I'm not here to fit in.
Right.
I'm here to accomplish something. I'm here to live a life that matters. I'm here to create impact. That does not require me to make you comfortable. I think it was like an Oprah quote of, you can't please everybody and succeed at the same time. Like, it's just, it doesn't go together. Mm-hmm. But for those of us who have lived life saying, oh, here, let me just grab your expectations or your pain or your discomfort and put it on my own shoulders, like we can fix it or actually take it off of them. Like, it doesn't work.
No.
So they just don't get a say on what is okay for me to do and not okay for me to do, because it's not their journey.
Yeah. And in your blog post, the first thing you say is, you know, have you ever been inspired by inauthentic people who play small and dim their light? And I think that is part of the too much part is, you know, if you're not in alignment and acting in an aligned way with who you are and what you're passionate about, you know, maybe that's where it starts to feel not misaligned, but uncomfortable.
Well, and I mean, misalignment gets in the way of our calling.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth of it. And it was interesting to me actually, because that comment or that phrase was something that someone else asked me, because I was challenged with this be too much thing last year, like be bold, be more authentic. And me being more authentic means me talking more about my faith life. And because I can't actually separate it from this growth and this transition, and that wouldn't be authentic.
Right.
And I came from this space where you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about in real estate. Right. And so now I'm in this new space and I have all of these people who are still connected to me from that old space who I have a social contract with. And I'm going, what's going to happen if I am as bold about this as I am when I'm in safe spaces, like quote unquote safe spaces, where that's the intention. And it's been such a journey of looking at the people who do inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a girlfriend ask me this question, and I looked at, okay, who are the people that actually have like changed my life, inspired me. And I look at people like Brené Brown, or I look at people like Andy Stanley, who's a pastor down in Georgia, and even like Mike Todd right now, who's another preacher that's younger than me, which blows my mind. So I'm like, am I getting old? but down in Oklahoma, and they're so authentically them and not concerned with making everybody happy. And they stand in the truth of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been able to create such a safe exploration space for me to be able to go on my own journey of transformation, that if they were hiding or like padding around to try and make people comfortable, that would never have happened.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And you're right. I mean, the people that I'm most inspired by are the people that are very bold about what they're passionate about. And I guess it all kind of comes back to our purpose. You know, if our purpose is to change the world, you know, that's not a quiet thing. You have to get out there.
And not all of us will be called to that. So it's okay if there are people in your life who are like, oh, well, that's amazing. And maybe they're excited for you and maybe they're not.
Sure.
You know, they might not be, it's not their path. And that's okay. But we don't have to accept like, you know, judgment from people either. So.
Well, I have loved this conversation. I want to make sure we talk about where everyone can find you. What is your favorite social platform? Where do you live the most?
I'm on Instagram and Facebook a lot. So you can find me there. I'm super easy to find.
And we'll have all of your links on your unicorn page and in the show notes. And your book is out. So please go and check it out. What is the title again?
Fired Up, Fulfilled, and Free. Know who you are. Get out of your own way and live your purpose.
Ah, it's going to be incredible. I cannot wait to read it myself. Julie, thank you so much for being on the show. I cannot wait until we record episode 2 about Enneagrams.
Oh, it's good stuff. I've never seen an accelerator of personal growth and awareness like it. So I can't wait.
Super psyched. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Julie. You guys go check out her book on Amazon, Fired Up, Fulfilled, and Free. She is such a rock star and is blessing us with a second episode next week, all things Enneagram. So come back. I hope you have a fantastic week. Like, subscribe, do all the things, leave us comments, find me on Instagram. I cannot wait to hear what you guys think of this episode. Have a great week.